ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। 9th canto chapter 2 text number 4 ekada pravishat goshtham shardulo nishivarshati shayana gav utthaya bhitasta bhabramur vraje. Translation. Once at night, while it was raining, a tiger entered the land of the cowshed. Upon seeing the tiger, all the cows who were lying down got up in fear and scattered here and there on the land. There's no purport to this verse, so I'm going to read the next till the 9th verse, 5, 6, 7, 8, and the 9th. When the very strong tiger seized the cow screamed in distress and fear, and Prishadra, hearing the scream, immediately followed the sound. He took up his sword, but because the stars were covered by clouds, he mistook the cow for the tiger and mistakenly cut off the cow's head with great force. Text number 7. Because the tiger's ear had been cut by the edge of the sword, the tiger was very afraid and it fled from that place while bleeding on the street. Text number 8. In the morning, when Prishadra, who was quite able to subdue his enemy, saw that he had killed the cow, although at night he thought he had killed the tiger, he was very unhappy. Tam shashapa kulacharyaha kritagasam makamataha nakshatrabandhu shudrastvam karmana bhavita muna. Translation. Although Prishadra had committed the sin unknowingly, his family priest Vashishtha cursed him, saying, in your next life you shall not be able to become a kshatriya. Instead, you shall take birth as a shudra because of killing the cow. Purport. It appears that Vashishtha was not free from tamogun, the mode of ignorance. As the family priest or spiritual master of Prishadra, Vashishtha should have taken Prishadra's offense very lightly. But instead, Vashishtha cursed him to become a shudra. It is the duty of a family priest not to curse a disciple, but to give him relief through the performance of some sort of atonement. Vashishtha, however, did just the opposite. Therefore, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that he was Durmati. In other words, his intelligence was not very good. Hare Krishna. So the episode that is going on right now is of Prishadra, who is studying in the Gurukul of his spiritual master, Vashishtha. And one rainy night, tiger comes into the cowshed and has attacked a cow. And Prishadra, he goes with the sword, and because it was so dark, he couldn't see, so he swung his sword to kill the tiger, but accidentally he missed and he cut the throat of the cow. The cow was killed. So killing a cow is considered one of the very, very great sins. It's a very, very big sin. And today we can see that there's so much of cow slaughter going on. Of course, a lot has been spoken about cow protection who spoke previously. Point to the notice of devotees. Very interesting point I came across recently in the readings, that in around 1965, 67, around that time, there was an epidemic of smallpox. And, smallpox is a very dangerous disease. It's like chickenpox, but it is a far, far more deadlier disease than chickenpox. So it is a life-threatening disease, and about 150 lakhs, right? That is how much it is. 200 million people were afflicted with smallpox during the time of 1965, 66, around that time. And around 20 million people were dying every year because of that disease. 20 million people. So there was no cure for smallpox. Then there was this one scientist whose name was Edward Diner. Okay, it's very interesting. What this person, he observed, there are people who worked in cow sheds. They never got smallpox. So he tried to study what is it, what is the phenomenon which is responsible for this. And he found out that people who work with cows, they tend to get a disease called as cowpox. And it's a kind of small rash-like thing which you get, which is a very minor thing. And it is also caused by a virus, which you get it from the cow. But it's a very minor thing, it just goes away. But once you get that cowpox, you become immune to smallpox. Edward Diner, what he did, he removed those viruses from there, he made it into a, what you call vaccination, right? Made it into vaccination, it tested people, and he saw that even when a person is injected with smallpox virus, he got a very mild symptom of smallpox, but immediately he became cured of that disease. And from that came this vaccination of smallpox, and the World Health Organization, somewhere in 1970 or something like that, they introduced it on a worldwide scale in order to eradicate this disease from the surface of the planet. And this word, vaccination, comes from a Latin word, vacca. Vacca means, in Latin, cow. So a cow came to the rescue of mankind when they were afflicted by a most dangerous disease like smallpox. Goes to show how valuable is a cow to humanity. Amazing statistics, is it not? So we can see that how cow is so valuable to human society, and it must be protected at all cost. At all cost. So we can see that Prishadra, who was a disciple of Vashishta, his all intention was to protect the cow. Protect the cow. But accidentally, because of a mistake, he cut the neck of the cow instead of the tiger. So that was a mild mistake. And Vashishta cursed him to become a Shudra in his next life for this mistake. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes in his commentary of Bhagavatam, which Srila Prabhupada reflects in this purport, that Vashishtha, great sage Vashishtha, whom we hear during the time of Lord Ramchandra, he is also afflicted by tamogun. Because he was afflicted by anger, he couldn't tolerate and he pronounced a curse. So we can see that even great sages like Vashishtha is not free from the effects of tamogun, the effects of anger. And it could be so devastating that a spiritual master can go to the effect, an authority or a leader can go to the effect of even cursing his disciple when he's, when he's angered, when tamogun takes over. So very important lesson for, we can say, if in case a person is acting as an authority, all of us will at some point of time, we are authorities in some way or another, or will take up important authoritative positions in the future, has to be careful about this very important principle, that how at any point of time tamogun can actually take over. And we have to be very careful in dealing with utmost care and caution and not to react. Therefore it is said, do not make very important decisions when you are angry. And do not make promises when you are happy. Because in both cases, you are, overcome by emotions. And therefore, you may abandon your, discrimination. So therefore, it is very important to be in a very sane frame of mind in order to make your decisions. So here, we can see that Vashishtha, he cursed his disciple to become a Shudra. Now, this is not the first case where he's, cursing his disciple. He has cursed his another one of his disciples in a similar case for no reason, absolutely. There's a story that Vashishtha was the spiritual master of the Ikshvaku dynasty, Janak Maharaj's dynasty. And he was a king for many generations. I'm sorry, the spiritual master of the kings for many generations. So, in one such incident, one of the kings, he was to perform a yajna. So Vasishtha at the same time had an invitation from Indra to perform a yajna in the heavens. So he told his disciple that you just wait, I'll just go and I'll finish my job and I'll come. So you just wait for me. So Vasishtha goes, but in the meantime, the muhurta, the time, the auspicious time for performing the yajna was just passing by. So he brought some other brahmanas and did the yajna. So Vasishtha immediately, he just packed off quickly his, you know, yajna and told Indra that I've got another, you know, yajna to perform, so I have to go. So he came back with great anticipation that my, you know, disciple is here, you know, waiting for me. And he comes and he discovers that his disciple has already performed the yajna. And some other brahmanas doing the ahuti, so he became extremely insecure. He was a kul guru. So he said, I told that I'm coming back, and still he did the yajna by inviting the other brahmanas. Immediately he pronounced a curse. Because he was again afflicted by greed. Pronounced a curse that you die. You become nirdeha. Nirdeha means without a body. So the king, he felt he was being cursed without a reason. Because being a kulu guru, it was his duty, his principal duty, to complete that duty first and then go to oblige some other kind of duties. But because he neglected his duty and it was important for the yajna to be done, he performed his duty. So the king felt that I'm being criticized unnecessarily. So he in turn cursed Vasishtha. He says, you also become nirdeha. And because he was very punyavan, he was also very pious, even Vasishtha got cursed and even he gave up his body. So both are nirdehas, without bodies, and they are moving around. And then later on, some rishis, they packed up Vasishtha in a pot. Both Vasishtha and Agastya. In fact, Vasishtha's name is Kumbh Muni. And both Agastya is also called as Kumbh Muni because they're born from a pot, because they didn't have a body. So that is the story behind it, that again, you know, this is another incident where he's cursing his disciple. So we can see that how, this is an example of bad leadership, a very bad leadership. We saw previously Shukracharya cursing his disciple, that you lose all your wealth because he was afflicted by greed. So we can understand that how the position of a leader is very delicate. And a leader may succumb to temptations of material facilities and being respected, and he may be impressed by the disciples. He may be interested in keeping disciples who are influential, who are wealthy, in order so that, you know, he can get his remuneration and his respect and prestige and all these things. So these are the tendencies of people who are in important leadership positions, that they may tend to use their position to exploit their subjects. And we can see even Vasishtha is not free from tamagun here, what it is explained here. So what to speak of ordinary conditioned souls in the age of Kali Yuga? It's so difficult to resist the temptation. And therefore, one has to be very, very careful. So we can see that there are so many such examples. Even in the Shastra, there's another example of Urvashi. That Urvashi once was being kidnapped by some Gandharvas. Some Rakshasas, some of the demigodly plane. And at that time, Pururava happened to be there. So Pururava, he comes to the rescue of Urvashi, releases her and hands her over to Indra. And Indra becomes extremely happy. So he throws a party. A dance party, where Urvashi and Rambha would perform dance, and Pururava was also invited. So the party was going on, and Bharat Rishi was a choreographer, and he was a dance teacher, in other words. And he was giving guidance, he was giving the taal. But unfortunately, because Pururava was also sitting, and in that process of Pururava trying to help Urvashi, you know, he falls for Pururava. So while she was dancing, her eyes fall on Pururava, and she's distracted, and she falls out of step. And Bharat Rishi looks at her dancing like this. He says, "You are dancing like a human being, always making mistakes. You go and live amongst human beings." And Urvashi falls and she comes and lives. And you know the story goes on again in Bhagavatam. There is Pururava Urvashi story, that Pururava falls in love with Urvashi. Is it not? That is again another cursing story, where Dharma, Artha and Kama come to Pururava's house just to test him. And Pururava takes good care of all, but unfortunately he becomes very partial. He sides with Dharma and he gives more charity to Dharma. Artha and Kama becomes angry at him and curses him that you will be afflicted. And therefore, you see, eventually when he meets Urvashi, he falls for her and becomes trapped. So we can see that how it is very important. Important message is that when we are receiving a guest, if someone comes as a guest to our house, it is very important that we take proper care of them, irrespective of who they are. Very important principle. Because at that time, we are in a very important position to make a difference in the lives of people. And it is explained that even if an enemy comes into a house, we should treat them in such a way such that they forget about their enmity and they become friendly and happy. So we can see that people in important positions have a very important role to play. And therefore, they should use their position very responsibly. And for a guru, it is explained, it is very, very important to see that he is instrumental in delivering his disciple from the clutches of maya, of material existence. And that's why it is said, guru na sasyat, swajano na sasyat, pita na sasyat, janani na sasyat, devam na sasyat, pati na sasyat, na mochet yah samupetya mrityum. So it explained that a person does not have the right to become a guru, a husband, a mother, a father, a god, or any important leadership position if he does not have the capacity to deliver his dependents from the clutches of death. That is a very important responsibility which he has. And here we can see Agastya, who is in the position of being a spiritual master, instead of delivering his disciple, is cursing him to become a Shudra. So how is he playing a role of a spiritual master? So spiritual master means he has to learn to tolerate the mistakes, petty mistakes made by his disciples, and go ahead and give him proper guidance so that he can come and advance in his spiritual life. So here Vasishtha becomes very angry. So that is a role which is played by a spiritual master. A very responsible role. Just like a parent may have a child and the child may make mistake. The parents may, you know, pick up the child and, you know, will carry the child. But what does the child do? The child, you know, passes stool, urine and everything. The mother doesn't throw the child. Yeah, what is this? I'm caring for you and you're passing stool and urine on me? No. So when a mother has love for the children, no matter what mistakes they make, there's always going to be forgiveness. There's always going to be love and compassion. That is the nature of a parent. And that's the role played even by a spiritual master. A role far more important than even a parent. And as a spiritual master, he must be forgiving and tolerant. Titikshava karunika suhrida sarva dehinam ajata shatrava shanta sadhava sadhubhushanam. That is the role of a spiritual master, far greater than a parent. You know, there's a story of Surya. That Surya had a wife whose name was Sanjana. Now, Surya was so effulgent, he was so bright and effulgent, that Sanjana, after some time, she found it very difficult to accommodate and adjust with her husband. So she thought, I cannot live. I have to do something about it. And she leaves home and she sends her lookalike Chaya. She produces another image of her own self who looked exactly like her, Chaya, and sent her to live with Surya. And she went into the forest. She told Chaya that there is no way how anyone can identify you to be Chaya and not me till you tell and reveal your identity. So don't worry. while I'm gone. So, of course, Sanjana, she had her children. And from Chaya, again, Surya got another, Vrishti, and all the other children were there, two children. And of course, Sanjana's children were Yam and Yamuna, the two children of Surya. So naturally, Chaya, because she had her own children, she became partial to her own children. And she neglected Yamraj, Yama and Yamuna. And Vaivaswat Manu was another, the son of the elder brother of Yamraj. So the elder brother didn't take much offense, seeing that she's more partial to the other children. But Yam could not tolerate it. And Yam, he raised his leg to kick Chaya. And Chaya looked at Yam and said, "That foot which you have raised to kick me, I curse will be eaten by worms. And it will rot and decompose." And Yam looked at, "What is this?" And he goes running to Surya and he says, "I have a doubt. I admit I made a mistake. I raised my foot to kick my mother. I shouldn't have done that. But tell me, does a mother ever curse her son? Is it possible that a mother ever curses her son? I have a serious doubt that she's my mother. She cannot be my mother." So Surya goes to Chaya and says, "What is the problem? I mean, why did this happen? Is there some secret behind it?" And then she reveals, "I am not their mother. I am Chaya. Sanjana is out." And that way her identity was revealed. So we can see that it is not the nature of a mother to curse her own son. It is not the nature of a spiritual master to curse his own disciple. If he does that, then what is the role that he is playing as a spiritual master? If he abandons his disciple, thinking that he's so fallen. Oh, he's so gone case that I can't. It's like a doctor saying, "You're so diseased. Too much. I can't give you medicines." Doesn't work like that. You know, as it is, the people of this world are suffering. I got a message on my mobile phone. Said, "Do not disturb. Already disturbed." People in this world are already suffering. What is the point in unnecessary again criticizing? Birth, old age, disease, death, and is already there. And the spiritual master is supposed to relieve him from the suffering. Samsara dava nalnida loka tranaya karunya ghana ghanatvam. He's supposed to give him the spiritual benefit. So how is he? I remember in my personal life, in my society, practical thing which I witnessed, which I got a lot of inspiration from, was from a doctor. And this doctor, he came to visit a patient who had tried to commit suicide. Neighbor. And this person, he had drunk this rat poison, Tic 20. So the doctor came and he was like, you know, in a completely drugged situation. And he was still conscious and he was speaking to the doctor, "Doctor, please, you know, I don't want your medicines. Please let me die." And the doctor is saying, "No, I'll have to give you, you have to take this medicine." And he was giving something to vomit out the poison or something. And he's saying, "No, I don't want your medicines. I don't want, please, you go." And the doctor is saying, "No, you have to take. And finally, this patient becomes so aggressive and he says, "Get out, I've not called you for you, I've not consulted you. Why have you come here? I don't want your medicines. Get out from my house." And I was very young at that time and I was seeing what is going to be the reaction of the doctor. And the doctor, so maturely, he dealt with the situation. He became so heavy and chastised that patient, saying that, "I am not going to leave this place till I give you a solution. I am going to free you from your situation. I am not going to allow you to die. No matter what you tell me, no matter how much you criticize me, I am going to do my duty as a doctor." He was so forceful, he completely controlled him. And that patient, like a helpless child, he just surrendered. You know? He just surrendered. He said, "What should I do? Take this." And completely controlled him and subdued him completely. And I was inspired. I was thinking, wow, what a wonderful thing. First time I saw a doctor, you know, act in that role of being so magnanimous and being so tolerant. Even though being insulted, he was not saying, "To insult kar raha hai mujhe, yeah, what is this? I'll get lost. You die." Easiest way to just let him die. But he actually gave him the solution.
So similarly, the spiritual master plays that role of being forgiving and give him a spiritual solution. Na mocheyeh samupetya mrityum. An authority does not have the right to become an authority if he does not fulfill the responsibility of delivering his dependents from the clutches of death. That is a very important role that he plays. So there are so many such examples in the Shastras where we can see that, you know, there have been curses even by devotees. Like, for example, Narada is cursing Nalakuvera and Manigrip. Now, Narada also cursed Nalakuvera and Manigrip. There's no doubt about it. They were, you know, taking a bath and they were not having clothes and they disrespected the great sage. But when Narada cursed Nalakuvera and Manigrip, it was not for, it was not for exhibiting his false ego, or it was not for unleashing his frustration. It was to actually assist Nalakuvera Manigrip to come out of that fallen situation. So Nalakuvera Manigrip were so intoxicated in false pride that they needed a very strong dose, and therefore he was punished. And what was the result of that punishment? What was the result of that curse? The result was that they got the personal association of Shri Krishna. They were born as trees in Vrindavan and they got the personal audience of Shri Krishna. And their progress was speeded up. Because it's explained by the Acharyas that if Nalakuvera Manigrip, if they would have gone by their karma, because naturally, you know, a person who is like acting in ways which Nalakuvera Manigrip acted, according to their karma, they would have become trees, naturally, because not wearing clothes is the life of a tree. They don't wear clothes. So naturally, according to their karma, they would have become trees anyways. But if they would have become trees, it would have taken many, 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 many years to finally come to the human species and then the demigod species and whatever. So the evolution would have been a very, very slow process. So Narad Muni, by cursing, he speeded up the process of coming back to the level of devotional service. And cursed him in such a way such that they get the audience of Shri Krishna personally. So Narada, a pure devotee's association, is so amazing. So amazing. And we can see that even a curse may apparently seem like a bad thing, but actually it is for the benefit of the disciple. And therefore he played his part very well. So we can see there are so many such examples in the life of Srila Prabhupada, that how he gave so much mercy and he was so tolerant towards all his disciples. One such example of which I was just reading about, one of his sannyasi disciples known as Prithuputra Maharaj. Now this Prithuputra Maharaj, he was the first French sannyasi, and he rendered a lot of service, but eventually in due course of time he fell down and he kind of blooped. He went into sense gratification and he started breaking all the regulative principles. But eventually he came back to the consciousness. He got cancer or something, like he got a terminal illness. And when he was dying, he was on his deathbed. At that time the doctor was telling the story to one of the Prabhupada disciples. When he was dying, he just got up, opened his eyes, and he said, "Prabhupada, you have come." And he laid back and eventually he gave up his body. So we can see how Srila Prabhupada, he was so tolerant with his disciples that even though they were, you know, having so many problems. One such example is of Pitavas Prabhu. Now Pitavas Prabhu, it is explained, in America, one of the American disciples of Srila Prabhupada, he was a very arrogant, would take great pride in putting others down, in insulting others, you know, would have his way in an argument, would never like to be told what to do, and people would have tough time with him. There were so many complaints about him. Very aggressive person. Everyone is having trouble with this devotee. And no amount of counseling, no amount of instructions would help, would make him change his habits. So what happened? One day Srila Prabhupada visited the temple where this Pitavas Prabhu was living. And it is explained that he was cooking in the kitchen. And Prabhupada visited. And Prabhupada didn't speak a single word to him. Prabhupada just went into the kitchen and looked around here and there. And just went to a corner of the kitchen where there was some dirt. And he slid his finger and wiped that dirt. And his finger became black. So he went to Pitavas Prabhu. And on his cheek, he just, drew that line, black line on his cheeks. And it is explained by other Prabhupada disciples that that was the point of transformation of Pitavas Prabhu. His nature completely changed. He became very accommodative, very loving, very understanding. And from that day onwards, he was never the same. So we can see that how Srila Prabhupada, by his mercy or some spiritual power, he could transform such fallen souls to become nice, gentle Vaishnavas. We can see that in great devotees like Srila Prabhupada. That is a spiritual master. Another such example is of Indridyumna Maharaj's mother, which I was reading, that he explains that his mother had called Indridyumna Maharaj and told him that she had a desire to go to Vrindavan. So Indridyumna Maharaj was amazed. How is it that my mother is wanting to go to Vrindavan? She's from an American family. They didn't know much about Krishna and things like that. So Indridyumna Maharaj was thinking that my mother has expressed this desire. So certainly I must do something to fulfill that desire. So he started making plans. He got the call in the night. So he thought, okay, I will call you back tomorrow. And tomorrow I will let you know. It's late now, so tomorrow I will call you back. So the next day, he calls his mother and he comes to know that his mother has passed away. Immediately he goes there and he finds out what happened and everything. And he finds out that his mother was suffering from terminal illness, some terminal disease. And she was going to leave her body. So he asked that, how is it that my mother didn't tell me these things, that she was ill and things like that? So the devotee said that she didn't want to disturb you. She didn't want you to let you know and make you upset. So she just kept quiet. And they said that, but she has been reading the books which you have been giving her all throughout the years. And she has been reading those books recently. And she read about Krishna and she read about Vrindavan. And in the final moments, she thought that she wants to visit Vrindavan, the land of Krishna. And that was the time when she actually called you and expressed her desire. So Indridyumna Maharaj, when he heard that, he was really amazed. And then he took the ashes of his mother to immerse in the Yamuna in Vrindavan to fulfill that last desire. So you can imagine the mercy of Srila Prabhupada that his books have delivered. What kind of people? People who had no knowledge whatsoever of Krishna consciousness. Is it not? I mean, they had no clue absolutely of what was Krishna. And Maharaj says that she was delivered. She developed a desire to go to Vrindavan and she left her body. So what kind of a mercy that is of Srila Prabhupada, that through his books and through his personal association, he has given great mercy and delivered people of this world from the darkness of illusion. We can see in Chaitanya Charitamrita also examples of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally when he was going in the South Indian Yatra. One of his disciples, Krishnadas, he became attracted by some of the women of the Bhattatharis. And he left Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's association in order to go and join these tribal people. Now, who are these people? Who are these Bhattataris? They are basically Adivasi kind of people, village, forest dwellers, who are dressing themselves as spiritual sannyasis, as spiritual people, but they were actually rogues and thugs. So that was their basically, profession, to somehow or another attract and allure, tempt people and get them to join their party. So somehow they were successful in tempting Krishnadas. So Krishnadas went, left Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's association to go and join the Bhattataris. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discovered that, he went over there and appealed to those people, saying that, what is this? You are dressed as sannyasis? It seems that you all are sannyasis. I am also sannyasi. So, why have you taken my man? You are giving me trouble. It doesn't seem logical that a sannyasi should give another sannyasi trouble. So these people, when they saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they revealed their true form. And they removed their swords, knives, lances, all their weapons that they removed in order to attack Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they ran towards Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu, by his yoga maya, all the weapons came out of the hands of the Bhattataris and just went behind them and started chopping off the limbs and arms. And when some of the Bhattataris were severely cut and chopped to pieces, they all started running, and there was a complete chaos in the assembly. And it is explained, Bhattatari ghare maha uthila krandhan keshadhari vipre lana karile gaman. That Bhattatari ghare maha uthila krandhan, in that assembly of the Bhattataris in the house of the tribes, settlements of the tribal people, there was immense what? Chaos. And in that chaos, what did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu do? Keshadhari vipre laya karila gaman. He held the shikha of his servant and brought him back to his association. So we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he saw his disciple going away into maya, he didn't become frustrated with him and just didn't say, okay, he's gone, let him get lost. Anyway, he's in maya. No, but he actually went back and he brought him back. And when he came back to Jagannath Puri, when he reached back out of the southern yatra, then he handed over this person, his assistant, to the devotees, and he said, now you all take care of him, but I cannot give him association. So he ensured that he's in the assembly of people who will give him proper spiritual guidance, and then he gave him the proper punishment. But he did not abandon his disciple. So this is a very important instruction which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave. So the role of a preacher and of a spiritual master is very magnanimous. Therefore, even the gopis are praying in their prayers. They're saying, Tava kathamritam tapta jivanam kavibhiriditam kalmashapaham. So in that prayer, they are saying, the gopis, that bhurida janaha, that those preachers who are tava kathamritam tapta jivanam, that people who are in this world, they're suffering from the pangs of birth, old age, disease and death. Tava kathamritam, your katha is like amritam. All the people of this world are suffering miserably. Bhagavatam, it is explained, griheshu kuta dharmeshu dukha tantreshu atandritaha kurvan dukkha pratikaram sukhavan manyate gruhi. Everyone, all the people who are living in a house, materialistic people, they're engaged in some kind of sinful activities, acts of diplomacy, and it is a cause of great suffering for themselves and for others. They're already suffering. So for such suffering souls, what is the remedy? So it is explained that the gopis are praying, tava kathamritam tapta jivanam. Your katha is like what? Amrit. It is like nectar. Nectar which relieves, and it is explained by the gopis that bhurida jana, that those people who are actually distributing the message of Sri Krishna are actually supposed to be the most magnanimous. Bhuri Dajana. They are supposed to be magnanimous. They should not withhold that information. They should not hold back. They should be magnanimous in distributing the knowledge without discrimination to one and all, without making material considerations. A spiritual master is not supposed to make material considerations. Wealth, beauty, fame. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundari. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, na dhanam, na dhanam, na janam, na dhanam, na sundari, kavitam va jagadish kamve. Mama janmani, janmani ishvare bhavatad bhakti rahi dugi dugi. So, Guru is certainly not expected to be attracted by these things which a disciple has. And he must give him what? Krishna katha. And this is the real amrit. This is the real amrit. Like last Bhagavatam, I was speaking about, you know, the Mrita Sanjeevani mantra, chanting which would bring a dead man back to life. This was possessed by the demons. It's a demoniac mantra, actually. You know, where a person who's dead and you are bringing him back to life. And still higher than that is Amrit, which the gods had churned the ocean in order to get. What is the action of this? It is an equivalent of Mrita Sanjeevani, which would prevent a person from dying. But still, this is not such a great Amrit, because in one sense, what is the use? You are still continuing your material existence. You are continuing this world of suffering. There is so much of suffering in this world. It's like the modern medicine, you know, they give you, like you have cancer. Like someone was telling me that he saw one television program about a man who was a cancer patient. Cancer of the face or something like that. So the doctor performed an operation and they cut out part of his face, including one eye. So he was living his life without an eye and without part of his face. And he would wrap his face up with a cloth. So he thought he was a little bored of life. So what I should do, how I can use my, you know, handicapped as an advantage. So what he did, he used to perform shows. He would remove his thing and show the audience his face. And he would pull back his tongue and he would take out his tongue from his eye socket. And he would dangle it like this. And people would look at that and, oh my God. And that way he would, you know, make money and things. So that was the life he was living after getting that amrit of the modern medicine. It is a curse to live a life like that. I mean, you're living without a face or half a face. I mean, what's the use of living with your face wrapped up in bandage? And that is this modern medicine, you can see. I mean, that's like the amrit of this world. But the real amrit is what? Tava kathamritam tapta jivanam. And that is the real amrit. Why? Because the real amrit of Krishna katha does not give you life, eternal life in this world. What is the use of eternal life in this world? It is a curse in itself. It is actually wish. It is actually poison. The real amrit is Krishna katha, because it delivers you what? Eternal life in the spiritual world. And that is the real life. And for that, one has to be, to get that, to receive that mercy, one has to be trinadapi sunichena tarorivas saishuna amani namanitena. Like just, you know, just about yesterday, in fact, not yesterday, in fact, day before yesterday, I was standing down again. And I don't know, the second time I met one person, met me and he was telling me, he was moving outside Govinda's. And I said, you're looking for someone? So he said, yeah, I was looking for, you know, this person in the Govinda. He did not know the name of the person he wanted to meet or, you know, so many. He was in confused state. But I felt he was trying to discover something. So after some time, he came to me and he said, you know, I want to know, how do you make that spanako pizza? Now, the second time someone came to me to ask for how do the Govindas make pizza? So he said, no, it's a Greek pizza. Spanako is the name of a Greek pizza. And they make it really beautifully there. So I want to know. So I said, well, you know, that knowledge is secret. It is only given with proper permissions. In case you have some service, then you can get. He became furious. He says, why? I want to know. Knowledge should be distributed. And whoever wants knowledge should be given. Why are you withholding the knowledge? Should be given if someone wants it. What's the secret about it? And he was becoming very angry. And I said, look, I mean, knowledge is, it's a privilege. It's not a right. No, like Eklavya, you know, he said, you know, I want the knowledge of Dhanurvidya. He said, no, you're not qualified. I cannot give you knowledge. But he was hell-bent upon getting the knowledge. And he went and made the murti of Dronacharya and started getting the knowledge. But that was not bona fide. So I told him, knowledge is a privilege, it's not a right. And immediately he was like kind of shaken and he says, no, no, but still, you know, it's important, no? We should know how it is and it is a very nice, you shouldn't distribute knowledge and all. So I said, spiritual knowledge is for everyone, but this pizza knowledge is restricted. It is a guhya knowledge. It's a trade secret. And in ISKCON, it is the opposite. Maybe you can find that on the internet, but here in ISKCON, you know, it's a kind of a secret. And therefore, I said, one has to be humble. If you have to surrender to the guru and, you know, and then humbly request, please give me knowledge. And when you are qualifying yourself, then the guru gives the knowledge. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, na dhanam, na janam, trinadabhi suni chena tarorivah sahishnuna. One has to be humbler than a blade of grass and more tolerant than a tree. That is the... And I was just contemplating on this one aspect, you know, of a tree. Final point before I conclude. A tree's example is used as a example for tolerance. Why? Because if you think carefully, and I was just contemplating on this point, that a tree is at the bottommost rung on the food chain. Is it not? Like, for example, if you want some nutrition, you can't just eat dirt and can get your vitamins. I mean, earth has got vitamins, minerals, and everything. But your body cannot survive by eating earth and dirt, right? You have to eat something, you know, some vegetables or something, which all have life. And in fact, jivo jivasya jivanam. That to survive, you need to kill. You can't survive without killing, right? That is human species. It's the top of the food chain. Even though you're a vegetarian, you still have to kill. But a tree survives what? Completely on non-violence. Is it not? I mean, it has its roots and it's just sucking nutrition from earth. It is not, it's completely non-violent. Its sustenance is based simply on non-violence. It does not kill anyone. And someone may come and cut down a tree, but it just gives way. Okay, you want my branches? Take away. Care, cut it, take it. Make a house, make anything out of it. Tree, the birds will come and make a nest on the, okay, do it. So it completely, its existence is completely in service and no harm to anyone else. And therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu uses this example as of a tree to be tolerant. Trinadabhi sunichena taro reva sahishna amane namane dena kirtaniya sadhari. And if one follows that as a principle, then one is eligible to be a spiritual master and one is eligible subsequently to be, of course, give guidance to everyone else. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Bhaktivrinda ki jai, Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bol.